Welcome. We're glad you can join us for this deep dive. Today, we are looking closely at a really significant message from Brother Steve. This was from last Sunday night, July 6th, 2025. It was the final lesson, Lesson 7, in his series Invasion of the Demons. And our aim here, our mission, if you will, is to pull out the most vital insights from that sermon, especially focusing on what we as Christians really need to grasp and apply, particularly as we navigate, well, what often feels like a darkening world.
It was a weighty message, absolutely. A very powerful conclusion to the series. And you're right, it had this blend of quite stark warnings about the future, but also importantly offered real comfort and a very clear direction for believers.
Exactly.
So we'll try and explore both sides of that, the challenging realities he described from Revelation, and also that incredible hope that's always there in Christ, trying to find clarity.
Yes, finding clarity. So Brother Steve wrapped up his Invasion of the Demons series. He really focused our attention on that future invasion described in Revelation chapter 9. Now, for those who followed the whole series, you'll remember he started way back, setting the context with the past invasion in Genesis 6, that time before the flood.
Mm-hmm. And this final lesson, looking at Revelation 9, it paints a truly chilling picture. He detailed John's vision, you know, the angel given the key to the bottomless pit. And when it's opened, wow, it's not just a few demons, it's countless. Like smoke, like locusts, and their power. This is terrifying, to torment people for 5 months, but not let them die.
5 months of agony with no escape. Just imagine that, the despair.
Unthinkable, a judgment designed for suffering without release.
And then it ramps up even more, doesn't it? With the sixth trumpet. Brother Steve described this staggering number, 200 million demons released from the Euphrates River Valley, and their specific purpose, to kill a third of mankind.
A third. And this is happening amidst, you know, total chaos, things falling from the sky, land and water corrupted, the whole natural order breaking down.
It's a vision of humanity just pushed beyond any conceivable breaking point.
But here's the core, the truly sobering part that Brother Steve really hammered home. It's from Revelation 9, verses 20 and 21. Even after all this, it says, "The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands."
Did not repent.
Right. And he explained that phrase, works of their hands, consistently throughout the Old Testament refers to making idols. So it's not just bad deeds in general. It's specifically highlighting this deep-seated refusal to turn away from false gods, even when facing utter destruction. It's sheer defiance.
And he broke that down further, didn't he? He detailed five specific sins that characterize these defiant people, those who've actively, consciously chosen darkness. The first one, the foundational one, was idolatry. He explained how worshiping an idol is, essentially, worshiping the demon behind it. He talked about the physical ones, gold, silver, stone, wood, things that can't see or hear or walk. Even mentioned people literally carrying their gods on their shoulders. It makes you think, doesn't it?
It really does. And someone asked a great question during the sermon. Does it have to be a tangible thing?
Ah, yes. That was important.
And Brother Steve's answer was a clear no, which is so crucial for us today. Idolatry isn't just bowing to a statue. It can be mental. Worshiping your job, your reputation.
Anything that takes God's place.
Exactly. Yeah. Anything you put first. He even mentioned things like Catholic Church statues, icons, relics, as examples of things people can hang their religion on instead of on Christ alone. It really broadens how we need to think about idolatry now.
Makes the warning hit closer to home.
Yeah.
Okay, the second sin, murder. He described this future time as just filled with rampant killing.
Yeah, it's horrifying. God's judgment involves death. The Antichrist is persecuting believers.
And society just unravels. People killing each other, even family. A complete breakdown of morality.
It's hard to even picture. Then the third sin, pharmakeia. This one feels very relevant.
The drugging. From the Greek word for pharmacy.
Right. He said people will use drugs, any kind of numbing agent, really, to just escape the horror of their reality. Clinging to substances and hatred and demon worship, refusing to face truth or repent. It's intentional spiritual blindness.
A powerful connection to our times. Then fourth, sexual immorality. Pornia gives us pornography. Just widespread, unrestrained, a complete collapse of boundaries.
It often goes hand in hand with societal breakdown, doesn't it? A loss of any moral anchor. And the fifth sin he highlighted was thefts.
Honesty just gone, property rights ignored.
Mm-hmm. And Brother Steve drew that direct line to things in our own recent experience. He said, we've experienced a time in our country where we've opened the doors of our department stores and let people run through and steal whatever they want.
And his warning was that this philosophy, this mindset, is going to return. with force. It's sobering, really, how clearly we can already see glimpses, a taste, as he put it, of these conditions today.
Absolutely. Demon worship, murder, drug use, immorality, theft.
It's like a preview.
Yeah.
But then it will be global, overwhelming, inescapable. The spiritual battle is definitely already raging.
That's so true. And after laying out those intense realities, it's vital we remember what Brother Steve emphasized next, God's heart in all this. He quoted Ezekiel 33.11, "Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked."
But that the wicked do what? Turn from his way and live.
Exactly. Even in judgment, God's desire is for repentance, for life. His heart longs for people to turn to him. That's his character.
That perspective is so important. It balances the warnings and it leads right into the call to action for us, for believers. Brother Steve said, if these things are true, our response has to be warning people, flee from the wrath which is about to come.
Urgently, but out of love, not condemnation, offering the only way out.
And he was crystal clear about the church's mission in this, wasn't he?
Absolutely essential for us to grasp today. He said, quote, "It is not the church's responsibility or mission in the world to rearrange politics."
That's a direct quote.
Yes. "We are in the world to warn people of the wrath that is to come and that Jesus Christ is the only way for them to avoid that wrath. Our primary calling is spiritual rescue, not political maneuvering." And then the reminder, the promise that the church, believers, will be taken out of the world to glory before these specific revelation judgments hit.
Which is a message of immense hope for us. And speaking of future events, there was that important clarification during the Q&A about the mark of the beast.
Yes, that came up. He stressed it's not just some accidental chip or technology, though it involves something physical, something you consciously take.
Right. The key was the internal aspect.
Exactly. It involves a conscious decision, a deliberate desire to rebel against Christ and worship the Antichrist and Satan. It's a willful act of allegiance to evil. You can't take it by mistake.
That clarity is such a comfort, isn't it? It removes that fear of accidental condemnation. It's about the heart's rebellion.
Precisely. It underscores the spiritual choice, the moral responsibility involved.
Okay, so after covering those heavy future realities and our mission, Brother Steve shifted gears. He didn't leave us there. He started a new study, moving from Revelation to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, focusing on the rapture passage, and specifically addressing that deeply personal question, where did dead Christians go?
Yes, and it wasn't just our question. It was a burning question for the Thessalonians, too. Paul was writing to them when they were new believers, just babes in Christ, and they were worried, genuinely concerned, about believers who had already died. Would they miss out when Christ returned? Would they be second-class citizens in heaven somehow?
Very human concerns about loved ones.
Totally understandable. And Paul addresses their grief directly in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. "I don't want you to be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope."
And Brother Steve pointed out that phrase, fallen asleep. It's intentional.
Mm-hmm. It implies they're going to wake up again. It's about the body resting, awaiting the resurrection. It's a term of comfort, promising reunion.
So Paul's main aim there was pastoral care.
Primarily, yes. Brother Skink highlighted that. It's deeply pastoral, meant to ease their sorrow and give them hope. Even though the passage itself contains huge eschatological facts, major truths about the end times, the return of Christ, the resurrection, the heart of it there was comfort.
That's a beautiful balance. And he mentioned the Thessalonians had this very, very high anticipation of Christ's return.
They really did. Brother Steve felt Paul communicated it could happen at any moment. An imminent expectation.
And that's an expectation we should share too, right? It changes how you live day to day, gives urgency, but also hope.
Absolutely. It anchors you in an eternal perspective. And what's really significant, which Brother Steve drew attention to in verse 15, Paul says, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord."
So it wasn't just Paul's opinion.
No. It indicates this was a direct revelation. New teaching, giving specifically to answer their concerns and bring comfort straight from God. That gives it incredible weight.
Wow. And that led right into the cliffhanger for the next lesson, didn't it? Brother Steve left us with the question, the focus for next time. Where do Christians go when they die?
The big question. Looking forward to exploring that answer.
So wrapping up this deep dive, Brother Steve's message really forces us to confront the future, the reality of judgment for defiant sin. But crucially, it also highlights God's persistent call to repent, his desire for salvation, and our vital mission as believers. It's a call back to hope in Christ.
It is. And maybe the thought to leave with you, the listener, is this. Reflecting on that call to turn away from those pervasive sins, idolatry, murder, drugs, immorality, theft, and holding on to the promise of Christ's return, how does that shape your anticipation right now? How does it affect your daily walk? How deeply do you really long for the Lord to come quickly? And what does that longing move you to do today?
Powerful questions to consider. Thank you for joining us for this look into Brother Steve's teaching. We hope you'll join us next time as we seek the answer to that profound and comforting question from 1 Thessalonians. Until then, keep seeking truth and find your comfort in God's Word.